Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. on ESPN Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Wednesday, October 6th. Field, Daniel, and Kyle holding it down today. What a fun occasion we have upon us.
I love days like this, Field, where we just get to have a little bit of bro time, if you don't mind me saying.
That's right.
That's not too bad.
You and me here on the couch, Kyle in the seat that Daniel normally occupies. Kyle over there, no mouse clicking allowed, right?
No, thank you. Kyle put both of his hands up for those listening.
No mouse clicking. Confirm that there will be no mouse clicking throughout the show. We have... Normally, I start off by saying, like, we got a lot to get to, so we might as well cut the nonsense and get right to it. Today, we don't have that much to get to, Daniel. So we're going to go through some rankings. We're going to do some social questions, which I may not be a part of.
Correct.
As I, for those that are watching the live stream, you're like, you look
fantastic.
Debatable. But you look well-dressed today.
Yes.
You've got nearly an entire suit on. I'm going to be running towards the end of the show over to SportsCenter, which, of course, airs at noon Eastern time, to go talk about Stephon Gilmore. So if I'm out for the last few minutes, Kyle will be stepping in, and let's be honest, doing a better job than I could probably do, if we're being honest. Okay. Well,
I'll try.
You're sweet.
I'll try.
So let's get into a little bit of news, then, and then we'll do what we normally do on Wednesdays, which is talk rankings. And we can sort of go deep on some of those, because we've got some time here. The only piece of news that I wanted to mention off the top of the show, Daniel, is that Chris Carson sat out practice on Tuesday, and it's worth noting the Seahawks play Thursday night, so Monday and Tuesday practice reports are often just a projection because teams are doing such limited work on a short week.
Sure.
It's a neck issue for Chris Carson. Remember on Monday, or I guess maybe it was yesterday when we actually got to it, but we were like, what's going on with Alex Collins playing a ton? Maybe there's something more to it right now. So... did you have any teams in which you tried to roster Alex Collins last night?
I had Alex Collins. I acquired him in two different teams that I had.
Oh, good for you.
Which I was pretty excited about.
We play in too deep of league normally that I'm like, oh, Alex Collins, that sounds good. And then I go to the waiver wire and it's like, yeah, he was picked up months ago.
Yep.
Because people are paying attention to the next man up.
Yep.
But it's a good reminder that if Chris Carson does not play on Thursday, and Kyle, do you know if they're playing in Seattle or in Los Angeles?
I'm hearing a lot of mouse clicking over there too, Kyle, just saying out loud.
I don't have this stuff memorized, Daniel.
Okay. Well,
it is, I believe it is in LA.
Seattle.
It's in Seattle. Okay, take that back. So we'll get the injury report tomorrow, like today, the game status report for the Seahawks and Rams. So we could get clarity as soon as today from Chris Carson. The reason why I was asking about the location of it is when a team travels, if a player does not go, when the team lands, they have to say, hey, he's out, right? So I would have at least maybe had that point of clarity. But we'll keep an eye on this one here today, Daniel. If you, for some reason, play in a league where Alex Collins was not added, I would advise doing whatever you can, wherever you are right now, to add Alex Collins just in case. Because if Chris Carson's out, I would think Alex Collins would be part of that tier of what we talk about with those low-end RB2s who, like, we're not totally certain that they are going to have a great week, but the volume should be there. Especially in a deeper league, I think Alex Collins is an absolute must-add at this moment.
Agreed. I would like to also say that after I told Kyle that he's not allowed to do any more mouse clicks, I counted 14 more mouse clicks. So
14.
If you want to unplug the USB mouse and I can take it over here, or I can give you one more chance Just use the one on the computer.
Yeah, do you have a mouse pad?
I've never been good at it. I'm one of those like guys that's under 35, but... way older in computer
Yeah,
years.
I understand right. that. I gotcha.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're an old soul.
Yeah.
You're an old soul. Except for you know more about technology than people like Matthew who are just old.
That's true.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, you're just
that.
An old soul. Matthew's just old.
Old versus old soul. Well done right there. All right, so just keep an eye on this Chris Carson situation, and we hope that he's good to go on Thursday. Monday was a rest day for Chris Carson, so he goes from rest on Monday, did not practice Tuesday. Hopefully some clarity later on today. Yep. That would be out late, probably like 7 p.m. Eastern time is when we could get an injury update or a game status on Chris Carson. We'll brace for the update there. So let's get into rankings then, Daniel. And every week we talk about how there are 10 quarterbacks at minimum that if you have them, you're not thinking twice, you're just playing them.
Yep.
But every once in a while, there's also situations where you say, is the matchup just so good for this player that we should crank him into our top 10? And as we look at some of the players that might fit that bill this week, Kirk Cousins could be one of them, as Kirk Cousins plays your Detroit Lions, the Lions who are going to play tough all year, no doubt about that. It's not going to be an effort thing. It's just going to be a personnel thing and injuries, which the hits just keep coming, right?
Yeah, Frank Ragnow just went on IR.
He's on IR. Romeo Okwara, your best pass rusher, along with Trey Flowers, also on IR now after he tore his Achilles. Jeff Okuda tore his Achilles. Like, it's a depleted defense that was already short on top-end talent. So Kirk Cousins, who was good for each of the first 3 weeks, top 12 quarterback in each of those first 3 weeks, and then Craters last week with a quarterback 27 finish. You think Kirk Cousins deserves to be in that top 10 mix this week?
So the answer to that question is yes.
Okay.
But I don't know how. Just because of the talent that's above him. Again, you look at this matchup with the Lions, you look at all of the talent that he has around him. I have no doubt that based on what Justin Fields did last week against the Detroit Lions, that Kirk Cousins in this offense, which is way better than what the Bears offense is absolutely going to put points on the board. Kirk Cousins is going to be a part of that. The problem is, like we say every week, and like you already alluded to, it's not about Kirk Cousins. It's about everybody else that's in front of him. Kirk Cousins doesn't utilize his legs. There is a different floor that is utilized when you have a guy that runs like Kyler or like Jalen Hurts or, you know, pick any of those guys. So from that standpoint, Kirk Cousins is somebody that is a starter for me in a 12-team league. He is a quarterback one in a 10-team league, assuming that you have you're struggling or you have somebody potentially that's injured at quarterback. But it's so hard because this is a great matchup. You think that he's going to have an awesome time against this Lions defense, and that Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook, that they're all just going to produce. I just don't know how you put him ahead of any of those other guys that we talk about every single week. That's the only thing.
Yeah. There are situations where you say to yourself, like, all right, I'm doing it. Like, I am putting this play, whether it's, but I think it's more along the lines of a quarterback who has been hotter for a longer stretch than Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And a quarterback who, unlike Kirk, like what we have known about Kirk Cousins in his career is that he can go weeks of looking brilliant and then he can go weeks of being like, wait, this is the reason why he's been one of the more, how do I describe this?
Polarizing?
Polarizing. There, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, he's been a bit of a polarizing quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he has been literally the highest paid quarterback in league history at moments. And then, like, within seconds of that becoming the case, being like, what? Kirk Cousins, the highest paid quarterback ever? He is polarizing, but he's good enough to earn that contract. And then also, there's enough question marks surrounding him that people are still going to wonder whether he deserves that contract. But anyways, I think Kirk Cousins right there on the border. This is weird. So this is where, like, what you do versus where the rankings say you should do are like a hard one, right?
It's tough.
So, like, my initial ranks have him one spot ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, worst matchup. Kirk Cousins, really good matchup. Rodgers has obviously been great this year, but there's been a flop once.
Yep.
If I had Aaron Rodgers and the opportunity to stream Kirk Cousins was available, I'm not doing it. So either I need to rectify my rankings or I need to remind you that, like, sometimes these things are an imperfect way to make your decision.
Well, so I think that's a good point, and not to just stand Kirk Cousins for too long, but the idea of I have Kirk Cousins. I'm no longer doing PPR ranks. We just hired a new guy, Eric Moody, who has come in.
Congrats.
We're really excited about Eric. So congratulations and welcome to the team. So I've transitioned over to non-PPR rankings. So you can check out my stuff there if you play non-PPR. But for quarterback, I still have Kirk Cousins at 10, one spot ahead of Aaron Rodgers. But that doesn't mean that I'm dropping Aaron Rodgers to start Kirk Cousins. What it means is that in this week, in this silo, I think that Kirk Cousins might have a better matchup and might score a few fraction of a points more than Aaron Rodgers. But I'm not dropping Aaron Rodgers for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way there. Obviously not going to drop Aaron Rodgers. But also, even if, like, you could drop somebody else, your second defense to, which I don't know why you're carrying two defenses, but some people do on occasion. Yep. Like, I'm not doing it and playing him over Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
One more on the quarterbacks. And every week, the quarterback conversations, like, they're usually not that compelling. The conclusion's generally the same, right? It's like, this guy's got a good matchup. He's been good before, but he's still not inside our top 10. But Daniel Jones faces off against the Dallas Cowboys, and if you had followed the idea that Daniel Jones has been playing well, at least for fantasy, and in real life, to be honest, and the matchup is good, you might say to yourself, all right, like, I could make a case for starting him. And in two of the past 3 weeks, you'd be correct, because he's been a top seven quarterback in two of the past 3 weeks of this regular season. So, same question, Daniel. If you had an Aaron Rodgers or somebody else that you're concerned with the matchup regarding, would you drop your second tight end, add Daniel Jones for this week, or even if you have Daniel Jones on your roster just for the bye week fill-in for your normal starter, would you used this week. Here's another good one. Justin Herbert against the Browns. Would you rather play Daniel Jones against the Cowboys?
That's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough because Sam Darnold wasn't a top 10 quarterback as we ranked him going into last week, and he did great against Dallas, in part because we think that Dallas offense is going to score a lot of points, right? Mm-hmm. So Daniel Jones is either going to have to throw or he's going to have to utilize his legs in order to help get his team down. Like, obviously, they have Saquon, so they're going to utilize him. But, like, he has the ability, and there's a really good chance for him to put up big numbers here. But
yeah, no, same thing here.
But no, like, I don't think I'm not dropping somebody. I'm not playing him over Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers. Like, he might score more fantasy points, but the answer is just no. I'm not doing it.
You know, what we need to do is we need to establish the top 10 quarterbacks that are – there's no ifs, ands, or buts about starting them. I could do it off the top of my head right now. Let's just – we can get to 10. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Kyler Murray. Dak Prescott.
Did I say Justin Herbert? I don't think I said Justin Herbert already. Okay, Justin Herbert.
Stafford, Wilson.
I think I said Russ. Did I not say Russ?
You did not say Russ.
Okay. Russell Wilson. Yes, you're starting him. Did I say Lamar Jackson? I believe
yes,
I
you did say Lamar.
Okay, Stafford's up there.
Jalen Hurts. No, it's Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, who's been a top 10 quarterback every single week. That's 10 right there, right away. And there's probably a few others that
we are forgetting. And then there's still that Tannehill that has looked terrible without his wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm omitting him from this list at this point. Tannehill no longer needs to be in that like absolute must start. But we just got to 10 there and didn't really have to break a sweat. Like, what we need to do is just like, put those 10 in a capsule, right? And every week, just basically say, is there room for somebody else inside the capsule? And if so, who's getting voted off the capsule?
Agreed.
Who's getting taken out, removed from the capsule?
Yep. But in 12-team leagues, I do like the idea of both Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones being a starter this week based on the matchups that they
Larger
have.
Larger than 10-team leagues, it's a conversation.
Yep.
Because I think everybody beyond those 10, you could have a thoughtful argument about versus somebody like Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely.
Let's get to running back ranks, and we'll do so in just a second here, Daniel. But I noticed that you said I should be doing the Captain Morgan live read.
Did you notice that?
Was that an error, or is do you want me to do it then?
That's because I want you to do it.
Okay.
Like a pirate.
I don't have a pirate voice.
Well,
this episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan.
Yes.
The NFL fans know as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. Coming out of their draft, football fans know how hard it is to add the right players that provide some excitement and spark to the team.
Hardy, matey.
And sometimes you gotta sub someone in to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious crisp Captain Morgan original spiced rum and ginger.
Oh, what a booty that be, me matey.
Sub in the captain. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly, mighty. Captain Morgan Rum Co. New York, New York.
I love you. Thank you for doing that, Field.
That wasn't bad, actually. I was expecting it to be really bad, and that was a little better than I expected.
It was better than what I expected, too. Hey, by the way, do you own or rent your home?
Yeah.
Sure you do, and I'll bet it can be hard work, too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico. .com.
All right, let's get to the running back ranks now. And Daniel, I think the position here is not just where they're ranked, but just almost like a progress report on these players, right? Nick Chubb is one of my favorite players in the NFL to watch. The Browns are a fun team to watch too offensively, maybe last week notwithstanding, because in a league where teams are throwing it more and more and more, the Browns just eat you alive on the ground, in part because they have Nick Chubb, one of the best pure runners in the NFL. I've got Nick Chubb at running back 14 for this week. That's just 5 spots ahead of Kareem Hunt. I love Nick Chubb. He's great, right? He has not been a top 25 running back in either of the past 2 weeks.
No, he has not.
And unfortunately for Nick Chubb, one thing that's happening is a very, very, very small passing game role has evaporated. I mean, it's gotten even smaller. I don't know what his specific number of catches was last year.
I don't know, but I'll bet you Kyle can find out while using the trackpad on his iPad, on his computer.
Yeah. He
16 last year.
16
12 games.
Okay. See, okay, so 16 and 12, if I do the math correctly, that's 1.33 catches per game.
That is.
This year he's at 0.75 catches per game. So I know that Nick Chubb was still a great, great fantasy running back last year, but, and Kyle, confirm here if we can, like, he pays, how many rushing touchdowns did he have last year?
12.
So 12 and 12 games, that's one per game. How many does he have so far this year?
He has three in four games.
Three in four games. All right, so you're getting slightly less, but didn't two come in one of them?
Yeah, I believe so, in week one.
So I think it was two in week one, and then like what you're finding is that like Nick Chubb's amazing, right? But in two of his four games, he hasn't scored a touchdown, and that's going to cap the upside, right? Yep. So I love Nick Chubb. I think he's much better than the 14th best running back in the NFL. I just think that sometimes week over week, it's going to be hard to rank him much higher than 10 or 11 because there's just no passing game upside right now.
So let me ask you about that because I want to ask on the other side of that conversation because Kareem Hunt right now is RB9 on the season, averaging 16.9 points per game. That's more than Nick Chubb. Like Nick Chubb is running back 16 on the year. So understanding, and you've brought this point up in previously this week, Nick Chubb feels like a touchdown dependent RB1, and I think you're right. And if even with getting those touchdowns, his ceiling just feels like it's capped because of everything that Kareem Hunt brings to that offense.
It's amazing how completely garbage catches can add so much more value. Josh Jacobs had five catches for 17 yards on Monday night.
6.7 fantasy points right there.
Right there. Nick Chubb needs to get like 10 carries to equate to those five catches. Now he needs to get like 15 carries to equate to those five catches based off of his yards per carry average. Like, that's just ridiculous. I love the player. I think the route, the way that Nick Chubb gets to elite RB1 upside probably doesn't exist in this offense unless Kareem Hunt is hurt. He's not a terrible pass catcher.
No.
I just think the Browns are saying, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now we have a really dynamic pass catcher in Kareem Hunt that it's going to limit what Nick Chubb can be for your lineup.
So what has to change from this point before you start deciding that Kareem Hunt is going to slot in ahead of Nick Chubb in your rankings?
Yeah, I think it would have to be that like Kareem Hunt's passing game usage grows even more and the carries even out even more. Because it's still pretty clear, like Nick Chubb's still the ball carrier.
Yep.
But Kareem Hunt just gets the, like we'll see him occasionally lined up out wide as a receiver. And they're just, we need to, and I bet Mike Clay has already done this. He may already have this. Like we almost need to assign a metric or develop a metric that assigns like a value to each touch, right? Like one carry is equal to, actually, it would probably be reversed in this case. One target is really worth like three carries in the NFL.
2.8 for running backs.
2.8? Is that Mike's metric or is that just
I ran it entering this year for the past decade.
Okay, so for the past decade, one carry is equal to 2.8 targets. Sorry, one target is equal to 2.8 carries, right? So like if Kareem Hunt gets five targets in this game on Sunday.
And a few less carries.
That would mean that Nick Chubb would have to have 14 more carries than him per game to even it out.
Yeah.
And that seems pretty reasonable, right? Like it seems pretty frequently that Nick Chubb's going to outrush him by about 10 to 15 attempts. And Kareem Hunt could easily have five targets to Nick Chubb zero in a game.
So this question isn't about whether or not you're starting either Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt. You're starting both of them.
Yeah,
right? We're saying
both
that.
Both of them, yeah.
The question is, do you think that Kareem Hunt scores more fantasy points the rest of the season than Nick Chubb?
I'm going to go with no, because I do think the touchdowns are going to be much harder to come by. Do you think he will?
I do think he will.
You want to just board bet the heck out of
this
thing right now?
Let's board bet the heck out of it, man. I think that Kareem Hunt will score more fantasy points from week five on than Nick Chubb.
I think Nick Chubb will outscore Kareem Hunt in terms of fantasy points for the rest of the season.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board!
Good job. Nice job,
I don't know
Kyle.
Why I didn't just say the exact same words that
no,
I could have used the
perfect.
Same phrase, but good job. Another board bet on the board. All right, let's keep things moving to Mike Davis, and the Falcons play the Jets across the pond in London. I am lowest on Mike Davis at 30th amongst my running backs. I'm just one spot ahead of Mike Clay. And Daniel, it's weird because the opportunities still suggest that Mike Davis is clearly the most valuable running back in the Falcons backfield. But the production tells a very different story.
Yep.
How far down are you on Mike Davis right now?
Pretty far down.
Because you do non-PPR, right?
I do non-PPR, so I'm pretty far down right now. And here's the thing. When I'm looking at this, I asked Thirsty Kyle about this morning a little bit, and you're going to have to go with me here on this journey, okay? Because it's not perfectly direct correlation. But Tyler Lockett in 2018, we talked over and over and over again about how the efficiency that he was having was not sustainable. Mike Clay said it over and over. There's no way that he can continue this. He's only getting 5 targets a game, and yet he's getting a touchdown in seemingly every single game. Okay. And every once in a while, there are just outliers. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but I think that there's an outlier. I hate to side with Matthew on this. Trust me, I hate to ever side with Matthew on anything. But I wonder if Cordarrelle Patterson is one of these situations where they just realize how explosive he is.
Okay.
The idea that Mike Davis is doing less with more, and Cordarrelle Patterson is doing more with less. And because of all of those things, and even though I don't think that Cordarrelle Patterson can keep up this rate of efficiency, I think it's going to continue to an extent. And I think that that just continually kills Mike Davis's value, because until he starts to do something with those touches, I love that he's getting that workload, but he's not giving me anything with it.
Okay, fair enough. I think Patterson's role is going to stay close to the same. Like, I think he is, as I said a couple of days ago to Matthew, like, this is a sell high. I think that the numbers are not going to grow in terms of total touches exponentially. I just think that what we had hoped for Mike Davis coming into the season has not yet been realized. And I think at this point, it's fair to wonder whether it will. Mm-hmm. I like Mike Davis as a player. I don't think that he has changed dramatically from where he was last year. It's just been a less efficient and less dump off opportunities for Atlanta that, for now, where I'd hoped him to be a potentially low end RB2, to me, he's now a low end flex play.
That's fair.
Let's move forward to Zach Moss.
I want to say, and my tweets aren't loading. I wish that I could get them to load, but we asked for at the beginning of the week, people that made trades for Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
And we got a tweet. This one came from Caleb Evans.
Okay.
Traded Cordarrelle Patterson and J.D. McKissic and acquired Alvin Kamara.
This is exactly what I said was going to happen.
Yeah, you did.
Right? I was like, people are going to make some absolutely ridiculous trades for Cordarrelle Patterson. And Matthew, who was the player that he was like, there's no way. I think it was Josh Jacobs, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's no way you're getting that guy. There's no way you're getting Josh Jacobs. Yep.
This guy got Alvin freaking Kamara. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is fantasy football. This weird stuff happens. I'm not advising to make a trade like that, but...
And I'm with you, just because I think that, I want to have a little bit more optimism, and I'm slightly lower on Mike Davis because of that, doesn't mean that I'm not with you. Like, if you can get anything for Cordarrelle Patterson that's above what that Cordarrelle Patterson level is...
Do it.
Get it now.
Threshold.
Absolutely.
Do it ahead of that. All right, let's keep moving forward then to Zach Moss, who is going in the right direction.
Yeah, he is.
Who goes from a healthy scratch in week one to the 10th best running back over the past 3 weeks. Like, what is going on here? And here's the good news. His carries are going up week over week over week. 8, 13, 14. Daniel, I've got him at 27. You've got him. I don't know where you have him in on PPR. Mike has him at 30.
Yep.
Do you think we're too low on Zach Moss?
A little bit.
Okay. And what's the case for that?
I think the case for that is part of it is the matchup in this game, right? We've seen what he's done the 3 weeks that he's been active. Like you said, he was a healthy scratch in week one.
Yep.
So what I've seen from him with his carries go up, his ability in the end zone, and Josh Allen delivering just an unbelievable Bills offense. They are scoring a ton of points.
Yep.
This week, they take on the Kansas City Chiefs. So while there's always that chance that this is just a dud of a game because we want it to be an awesome shootout, I think it's just going to be a shootout. I still think it's going to. So from that standpoint, do I think that Zach Moss is going to be better than running back 27 based on what he's done in the first 3 weeks, based on Josh Allen and how great he's been, based on Kansas City? Yeah, I do.
All right. So what I will say is that I agree on the idea it's going to be a shootout, and I wonder if that actually might be a negative for Zach Moss. Game script of the past 3 weeks has been exactly what Zach Moss needs. He is not an incapable pass catcher, but the Bills seem to like him most when he is toting the rock between the tackles, because sometimes they don't even bother running the football at all. The past 3 weeks, they blew out the Dolphins 35-0. They beat Washington, I think it was 43-21, where it was like a garbage time score for Washington.
Yep.
And then last week, they played the Texans, and it was, 40-0, right?
So that team... Are they the new Patriots of the, are the Bills the new Patriots of the AFC East with the idea that everyone else in that division is just awful again?
I still feel like there's a chance that all three of the other teams could be more competitive. Like, New England looked good on Sunday night. The Jets at least won. Miami's defense still plays pretty tough.
Yeah, they do play pretty tough against a Bills team that scored how many points against them, Field?
I know. That was a weird game, though. I will say, and then obviously with Miami, we have the potential. And yeah. I know we're getting down a road that we're not quite there yet, but like they seem to be the team that if Deshaun Watson gets traded, he would like to go to most, and immediately he would make them much more of a contender.
If I'm playing a Bills running back, though, it's Zach Moss. I'm not playing Devin Singletary.
I think so, because the carries were even last week. So I still think the answer is yes. I certainly would rather play Zach Moss over Devin Singletary. I just do wonder, though, if this game becomes a shootout, are the Bills going to say, our best methodology to win is to just throw the football and throw it some more? Last year, they were an amazing offense, and they did not have a fantasy-relevant running back for the most part. So I still think there's a chance that we're under-ranking Zach Moss this week because he's been so good.
But I get what you're saying.
But I think, like, you know, their game script could be a little bit of a concern for me. Jonathan Taylor, we move towards. He is 18th on my running back board. That's three spots behind Mike. I'm actually lowest here, Daniel.
Is there a reason why you feel less? I mean, you have him as basically a low-end RB2. Mm-hmm. Is that because of the matchup here against Baltimore?
So I would say the numbers tell you that he deserves to be ranked somewhere in the RB2 category. He was really good last week against Miami. Maybe Kyle can pull this as well, though. Like, catches so far for Jonathan Taylor. I know his target share has been reasonable.
Got 11 catches in the four.
Yeah, 11 catches in 4 weeks. That's not bad either. So was there like a six-catch game in there?
Week one, yeah. He had 6 catches on 7 targets.
Okay, so 5 catches in his past 3 games. Still feels like he's not quite at that elite level. So, no major reason here on Jonathan Taylor. I'm not suggesting a benching or anything. Just, you know, just feel like there are enough players ahead of him on the board. I don't have a great reason, I guess. Yeah.
Hey, the Colts offense, while Michael Pittman has had a lot, and we'll talk about him in a little
Quentin
bit.
Nelson.
He's had a lot, yeah. Like, yeah. I am not sure with this defense the way it's going to look. Baltimore is a good defense against the run, and I think that Carson Wentz leaves a little bit to be desired right now for me at the quarterback position and everything else. And so I can see them keying in on Jonathan Taylor, making sure they want to shut down the guy that is the guy in that offense, which, yep, I think is, you know, appropriately ranked where you guys have him, you know, 14 consensus, Mike at 15, you at 18. That seems, nobody's saying don't start him, but it is a little bit of a lower expectations, I think.
Yeah, lower expectations is fine. You know, I will say as we get to the next player here, like the good news is that he's still getting some valuable touches here, right? Yep. He's getting all the goal line work for Indianapolis. That is very, very useful. So maybe I'm a little bit low on Jonathan Taylor, but you know, the difference between 15 and 18 really isn't that much in the grand scheme of things.
Speaking of goal line work though, Field Yates.
James Conner, baby, who over the past 2 weeks has been RB9, Daniel.
9 carries inside the 10-yard line. Only previously mentioned Jonathan Taylor has more.
Yeah, so I would say I'm enthused by what I've seen from James Conner as a goal line finisher. Still not a ton of pass catching work. But this Cardinals offense is good enough right now that opportunities to punch it in from the 2-yard line are available. So he's crept up my running back board this season so far.
I think that's fair. I feel like James Conner, with how efficient this offense is, with the way that Kyler Murray looks, like obviously Chase Edmonds is somebody that is utilized and is very useful in that offense, but he's their goal line back. And when they get close, and I expect this offense to be in scoring position multiple times, I think that he's someone that you have to look at. So he's at least somebody. He's kind of like a Zach Moss to me. I mean, there's similar-ish players to me in the idea that both of those offenses are high-flying offenses with great quarterbacks that use their legs, right? And then you have another running back that maybe is a better pass catcher, Chase Edmonds and Devin Singletary. And then you have Zach Moss and James Conner. And they both kind of feel, not the same player, but kind of feel that same role in an offense that's similar to that. I like James Conner, though, because of the workload that he's getting at the goal line.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me with James Conner is the passing game usage, which I feel like I'm a broken record on this show. But like the fear for someone in James Conner is that when you start him and it works out, it's a 20-point week like last week. When you start him and it doesn't work out, it could be like 9 carries for 26 yards with 0 catches. Yep. That versus other running backs, like as much as I was just, you know, I did not paint the most optimistic view of Mike Davis, I do think his floor is higher than someone like James Conner. He's a better pass catcher. He gets more passing game work. And his rushing attempts may be similar. It's just that the ceiling is different for him versus James Conner, specifically because of the different offenses that they play in.
Sure.
So how about we go to pass catchers then, Daniel?
Yeah, let's talk about some pass catchers because I have CeeDee Lamb on a lot of my rosters, Field, and I am stinking frustrated.
It has been a problem. He's been under 10 points in consecutive games for CeeDee Lamb. And I was thinking about this one, Daniel, because I'm like, what is it about CeeDee Lamb? He's not doing well. All right, so he has a catch last week that he's down at the 1.
Maybe I'm going to pause you real quick. Sorry. I'm going to start a GoFundMe called gofundme.com/getKyleASilentMouse. If you guys want to donate to that, that would be fantastic. Okay. Until then, Kyle, I'm going to have to ask you to hand me your mouse for the rest of the show, and you're going to be able to use it. Here, I'll just take it from you real fast.
Do they have silent mice? They do, right? Okay, Daniel. If anybody couldn't hear him, says probably I'm going to say yes. They do. Like, doesn't Apple make a mouse that when you click it, it makes no sound?
They have
whatsoever?
To. I feel bad doing this, Kyle, but this is for the fans. This is for the people listening to the show.
No, but it's also for Kyle himself, right? This is about Kyle's growth and maturation.
Saving you from yourself. I will buy you a mouse when I leave here, Kyle.
Wow, that is
a silent mouse.
Silent mouse.
All right, so I'm going to bring something annoying tomorrow and see if I can parlay it into it.
That's a Matthew thing to do. Let's talk about CeeDee Lamb. I'm so sorry to interrupt all that.
That's okay. But over the past 2 weeks, he's got just 8 targets. In the first 2 weeks, he had 24 targets. Like, it's weird, Daniel. It just, this to me, though, feels like nothing more than a small sample size issue.
Yeah.
I've got him at 23 only because the matchup is not great against the Giants, who I know have not been perfect this year defensively. But James Bradbury, a frisky corner. I'm no Mike Clay, but we'll have him on the show tomorrow to see whether there's any potential for a matchup here that is concerning for CeeDee Lamb. It's not just James Bradbury. It's also Adoree Jackson, who has shadowed some this season for the Giants. So not a great matchup and just less volume of late. A little bit of a market correction here.
You know, one of the things that I don't think any of us were expecting is that when Michael Gallup went down, that Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz would get the target share that they're getting right now.
Yeah.
I think we assumed that was going to be more CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, and those tight ends have been a really useful part of that offense.
Sure.
Which is absolutely, I think that's a big reason why we haven't seen more CeeDee Lamb, but also CeeDee's just too good to not get the ball in his hands more often.
That's it, Dave.
Come on, guys.
Like, he's so good that like the good times will roll soon enough.
Yes.
We're a little bit down on him, and it's, again, maybe it's just hedging a tiny bit, but like, CeeDee Lamb's still going to have a monster season by the time those 17 games are over.
Agreed.
I feel like we talk about Allen Robinson every week, and in the same context, right? Like, would you play Allen Robinson this week? Well, we're getting to the point where the rankings tell you maybe not. I've got him at 29 on my board, actually the same as Mike Clay. So, Daniel, we're at the point now where he has not been a top 45 wide receiver in a single week this season, Allen Robinson. The numbers tell you a story. Like, at this point, if you have Allen Robinson on your roster and you just want to wait for him to break out before you put him back in, we've reached that point. It has nothing to do with Allen Robinson. It has everything to do with the offense that he is currently operating in. I loved the throw that Justin Fields made to him last week. It was a great catch on the sidelines. But this offense is not clicking right now, even though they were a little bit better last week. Allen Robinson's a bench until he gets you 20 points. You take 15 points.
I would
at this
love,
point, right?
Yeah, just double digits.
He's a bench until further notice. He is a bench.
Wide receiver 64 in the season.
Ridiculous.
8.5 fantasy points per game.
Ridiculous.
Same thing that we talked about yesterday with Juju Smith-Schuster. You take his name out of this and you say, there's no way that I'm starting him. I just cannot put him in my starting lineup if I want to win this week. I'm starting Laviska Shenault in a league over Allen Robinson because I'm not buying it. I haven't seen it. I don't know how it's going to get better. And at this point, if I'm expecting more out of Allen Robinson, I think I'm hurting myself more than anything. So I'm going to go somewhere else. Kyle, give me a thought, though.
Yeah, do you trade for him now? Like, Fields is only going to get better. Last 4 weeks of the regular season, you got Minnesota, Seattle, Giants, Minnesota. So, like, it could get good at the right time. We know he's talented. We know he's produced with bad quarterbacks. Fields isn't going to get worse.
Am I 4-0? Because this is where my record...
Let's say you can make the playoffs. Let's
this
say
is where my record
yeah,
indicates.
Yeah.
If I am 4-0 or a really strong 3-1 team, there are a number of wide receivers that I think have disappointed this year that are going to eventually rebound that I would assuredly put in some kind of an offer for. Now, if I'm 3-1 or 4-0 and I like the roster that I have, I'm not going to blow it up just to get an underperforming star because I don't want to just make a trade just to make a trade.
Sure.
But I love the thought process as long as my team is in a spot season-long where I can make that decision.
All right, so I agree on that.
Sometimes I talk a lot like Matthew still.
No, it's okay. I'm used to it. I'm always interested in buy low opportunities. Like, I just am. Like, I don't know when I would not be interested in that. I suppose the only case would be, as you guys said, like, if you're 0-4 and you're absolutely desperate, you need the win this week, like, maybe not. But otherwise, of course, I'm interested. Michael Pittman cracks my top 20 for wide receivers this week.
Yeah, he does.
He's 25 for Mike. I'm at 19. So a little bit of a split here. It's a volume thing, though, for me. Michael Pittman is, over the past 3 weeks, 32 targets, that's sixth in the NFL. Ninth in target share, 31.4%. That's a huge number. I think anything over 25 is notable to me. I mean, like, notable at an elite level. 31.4 is outstanding for Michael Pittman. He's been the Colts' best wide receiver. This is an offense that's like whatever a step above broken is. That's what the Colts offense is. It's not great, but it's been better than like Miami or other ones that we have seen. So yeah, just the it's hard to ignore the volume here for young Michael Pittman Jr.
I think that's a good point. My question is, rest of season, do you think that Michael Pittman is somebody that is this offense going to get clicking? Are they going to start rolling eventually where he's going to become a fantasy viable, like flex play every given week?
I think that's possible for sure. A fantasy viable flex play. So I've got him at 19. So I've got him as a wide receiver too. You know, I think I'm trying to make Michael Pittman, the breakout star, happen a little bit too much. But I do think a fantasy flex via a flex, viable flex play is 100% in the cards
in
here
the cards for him.
As long as Carson Wentz stays healthy, which he has gutted his way through those ankle injuries and remained on the field, which was surprising, but also really good for Indianapolis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last one here, and it's not really a conversation, but we can talk about it for a second. Kyle Pitts, Atlanta Falcons. They play the Jets on Sunday in London. I've got him at 10 on my board. Mike has him at 10. And I think the question is, as Kyle posed smartly, is like, all right, there's a Dalton Schultz sitting there on the waiver wire. You can't drop Kyle Pitts, but would you grab Dalton Schultz and play him over Kyle Pitts right now?
Yes, I would drop Kirk Cousins or Daniel Jones.
Okay.
And I would pick up either of the two tight ends. Seriously, with where this is the way that I look at Kyle Pitts right now.
Okay.
And I'm sure that I'm not the only one. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I assume I'm not. You spent such a high draft pick on Kyle Pitts at a position where you likely only roster one person on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost pot committed until you make the decision, all right, I am done for the season with Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, either one of those two guys, I think are guys that if I was playing this week and I had someone that I could move on my bench, I would probably sit Kyle Pitts and I would probably play one of those two until I saw a little bit more out of him.
So,
but I like to play with fire.
No, it's okay. No, it's fine though because Daniel... Dalton Schultz has much more touchdown upside right now than Kyle Pitts, which is crazy. I think Matt
Ryan... But
they're
playing the Jets field.
I know. Jets are pretty good on defense.
They are pretty good on defense.
I believe Matt Ryan had 4 touchdown passes last week.
Yes, he did.
Who did those go to?
Not Kyle Pitts. I would tell you, but I can only go so far on my computer.
Okay. Stop it. Oh, my gosh.
Let's pull this up because you're like, wait, hold on. And up to that point, Matt Ryan had not been... throwing 4 touchdown passes per game. I'm going to just get with me on this journey.
So while you do this, I'm going to say this. Matt Ryan is another one of those quarterbacks that right now I don't understand with Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, who we thought was going to be something a little bit more than what he is right now, how he is not against a Jets team, regardless of how good their defense is.
Yep.
He should be a guy that's a top 12 quarterback. And Matt Ryan, I'm not feeling Matt Ryan this year.
I mean, we're way past
we're
the point
so
of Matt,
past
Ryan
Matt Ryan
starting. As a quarterback in your fantasy league. But Matt Ryan now has 8 touchdown passes in 4 games. 4 of them came last week. And of course, we forgot that
Patterson
3 of them went to Patterson,
them,
right?
Yeah.
And then Mike Davis. Davis,
yeah. Oh, obviously 3 of them went to Cordero
obviously,
Patterson.
Right? So of the, this is amazing, of the 8 touchdown passes that Matt Ryan has thrown this year, 4 have gone to Cordero Patterson. 1 has gone to Calvin Ridley. 1 has gone to Mike Davis. And then you get a nickel. Actually, you get $20 if you can name who the final 2 went to.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
That's one. Yeah, good call.
And the third one is to a third string tight end that I don't remember.
Wow. That's excellent. Lee Smith. Who got a touchdown. Which,
thank you.
Somebody needs to make this graphic. Someone out there is a Falcons fan. Like, find this. I don't know if this has been discussed nearly enough. You could not have 2 more dissimilar athletes in the same position, on the same position, on the same
roster
than the Atlanta Falcons have with Lee Smith and Kyle Pitts. Lee Smith has been in this league for a long time. He is as tough and rugged and physical of a tight end as you will find. This dude blocks like an offensive tackle. He may stick around in the league for 15 years by the time it's all said and done. He is also... I mean, Kyle Pitts is a super freak athletically. Lee Smith is not. Like, it's funny how these two are on the same team. Like, yeah. I just love it. Now, but Lee Smith, he has more touchdowns than Kyle Pitts. He has more touchdown upside than Kyle Pitts. That's the crazy part. So the calculus here, when you're deciding between Kyle Pitts and Dalton Schultz, as an example, is that one clearly has much more touchdown upside. Even if you take away what they've done up to this point, Dallas is going to score more points almost every week.
That Cowboys offense, yep.
Second of all, like, Kyle Pitts just isn't getting the volume. It's not crazy ridiculous volume. Am I still playing Kyle Pitts? Probably. But is it a conversation I get? Also, probably.
If I can't play one of these two tight ends or somebody that I think is worthwhile off the waiver wire over Kyle Pitts,
yep.
then you're just starting with him and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
Because you can't do anything else with him at this point.
Fair on that. All right, we're going to come back and just have a quick conversation about the most difficult player to rank, and then I'm going to go over and talk to my friends about Stephon Gilmore. But before we get to that, I'm going to read a live read, but not in a Pirates
book. All right, sounds good. That works.
Everyone likes shopping online, but searching for coupon codes, kind of a bummer. So make saving online a breeze with Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping is a free tool that instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer and let it do the work for you. So easy, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. Capital One Shopping, it's kind of genius. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary. That is freaking awesome.
It is freaking awesome.
That's really cool because I always hate when I buy something and then like 3 days later, after I've subscribed to the distribution list of that company, I get like a, hey, we're running a 50% off sale. And I'm like, but I gave you $200 a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Like, do I get my money back on that or no?
I'm with you. This is where you should stop buying $200 pairs of socks, Field.
But they're really comfortable.
This episode of Fantasy Focus Football is also brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's, I'd like to remind you, is the only place you drive through just for the fries. I mean, think about that. You're sitting in your car with a hot bag of McDonald's fries, the smell filling your tan 2004 Honda Civic, which isn't the point of this story, but it's paid off, and that's what really matters here in the long run anyways, guys. And you reach into the bag, and you feel a hot, slightly salty fry touch your fingertips, and your mouth start to water. Oh, man, but let's stop talking about fries and start eating them for free on Fridays with Free Fry Fridays in the McDonald's app. All you got to do is get yourself a free medium McDonald's fry, and you can spend $1 on anything in the McDonald's app in order to do it. That easy. Free medium fries when you order on the app with a purchase of $1 or more. The offer is valid through 12/31/21 at participating U.S. McDonald's, valid one time per day, excludes tax. McDonald's app download and registration is required. Oh, man, I want McDonald's fries right now.
I know, me too, man. All right, so by the way, guess whose birthday it is today?
It is
Kyle Pitts.
I was going to say you pointed at me, and it was not my birthday, and I got nervous for a second.
Wait, is it anywhere close to your birthday?
No, it's November.
Okay, I was going to say.
Kyle Pitts' birthday today?
It's like 6 weeks away. That's close,
yeah. Yeah, well, when you get my age, you just stop caring.
What are we doing for it?
Something fun.
Okay.
We'll do something fun.
Bowling?
Yeah, I'm down for bowling.
Yeah, man. In.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What's affiliate over under for a bowling score?
94.
94.
Over. Not good.
Over.
Not good.
By the way, I want to say this really quickly, and we're going to talk about some more players. We're going to get to some questions that we asked for a little bit earlier in the show. Not earlier in the show. Last night, and we tweeted them out. I realized that there has been a vicious campaign to villainize me on this podcast.
By who?
We'll rename nameless person. About the idea that we don't do name game drops anymore.
Right.
And I just want to state this. Which is fine. I don't mind being the one that takes all the, you know, the crap for it. However, when we started this podcast a long time ago, and when I took it over from Pod Vader, we were in a radio studio. I was behind a radio board. I had a whole bunch of stuff in front of me. And this show has evolved in so many ways since we have been a part of this show. And so unfortunately, one of the ways that has happened is now we're in a different studio. I no longer have a radio board in front of me because I'm in studio with you guys. I'm more of like an in-studio producer. And so because of that, we don't have the same drops that we used to as a part of the production that we have. Now, instead of having drops, we have player cards, videos from what we're talking about on player cards. We have the live streams, and we have all these other things. And so I apologize to all the fans about not having name game drops, but it comes at the expense of so many other things so that we can give our content to you in more than just one way. So please know, you can pile on all the name game hate that you want, but it's for the betterment of the show and for the, I mean, we've just been moving forward over the last you know, handful of years, Field
right.
Yates.
We have been. And for those that really want to direct their vitriol to Daniel, the best way to do so is to go on social media and go to Twitter and type at Matthew Berry TMR.
Exactly.
And just tweet at him and say, Daniel, I just can't stand the fact that you don't have drops for name games.
Yeah.
All right, before I got to run, I'm going to let you guys take these social questions from here. Yep. But was there a player that you most struggled to rank this week?
So originally I said Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, but okay. then we talked about them at length.
Yeah. I got mine.
I have another one, but I want...
It. Yeah, you go first.
So Kyle and I had this conversation. DeAndre Swift was hard for me to rank this week because 2 weeks in a row, he hasn't been great, mm-hmm. right? I felt like Jamal Williams was on the field a ton last week. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. DeAndre Swift had twice as many snaps as him. However, Jamal Williams was getting the workload. Jamal Williams was touching the ball. Add on top of that, two down weeks from DeAndre Swift, who was questionable and had an injury last week. Now they just put Frank Ragnow on IR for 3 weeks. Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, is out. Penei Sewell, who we want to like but is a rookie, is now starting at left tackle. There's that offensive line was supposed to be a strength for this defense, or for this offense. And while I love DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, I originally had them as these guys can be flex plays every week. Right now, I think maybe you're picking one, and it's tough for me to feel confident in either one of them, if I'm being honest.
Okay, fair enough. I feel more confident just in part because there are so few.
In part because you
backs.
Don't watch the games, and I have to see what
you,
happens.
You subject yourself
That's
to that
what
torture.
It is.
Mine is, I almost want to make a board bet against myself. Because
okay.
I got a feeling in my gut. I'm ready to declare this right now. Robbie Anderson breakout game is coming this
Ooh.
Weekend. 100 yards and a touchdown for Robbie Anderson. Not 100 yards or 100 yards and a touchdown for Robbie Anderson. Feel free to tweet me if I get that one right.
At Matthew
and
Berry
wrong,
TMR.
At Matthew Berry TMR yes. if I get it wrong. Right. I don't know what it is. It's a gut call. There's been too many opportunities that have been close. I think the matchup against Philly is ripe for opportunity here for Robbie Anderson. He's far too talented. Do we know where the game is, Kyle? Because if it's at home, it's a home game. Players love to play at home.
It is.
I was going to say, but if it's on the road, it's a homecoming for Robbie Anderson, who plays college ball at Temple.
He did, but no, it is a home game in Carolina.
Okay. 100 yards and a touchdown for Robbie Anderson. I'm just writing that down right now.
I like
now.
That.
Yeah, I just have a feeling it's a gut call, and I feel good about that gut call.
When we started the show today, did we know that Will Fuller was going on IR for 3 weeks?
We did not, so good news update right there.
Yeah.
So
Will Fuller's going on IR for 3 weeks, guys.
I think he's droppable.
I think so, too.
I mean, I don't know what his roster percentage was. I'm sure it was well over 50%, but if you need the roster spot and you already have somebody else on IR and you only have one IR spot, I think Will Fuller is safely droppable.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to hand the keys over to Kyle.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to try to do this quietly so I don't disrupt the rest of the flow of the show.
No,
so
we're going to take a bunch of social questions brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own your home, Geico can help you out everywhere. They do everything with insurance. Visit them today at geico.com. That's geico.com today. Kyle, let's get into some social questions.
Sure. Matthew writes in. He wants to know who has more value the rest of the way, Brandon Cooks or Tyler Lockett?
Ooh. Is that Matthew B. from Parts Unknown?
You got to think it was. He
Matthew Berry
questions.
From Baldston, Connecticut wants to know.
Wow.
Listen, so here's the deal for me. I think Tyler Lockett has more long season, rest of season value.
Good.
I am a never Tyler Lockett drafter, though. I'm just going to say that.
That's wrong.
I understand that you think that, but I am not interested in, I want consistency, right?
So do you want Cooks then? You're
no.
saying Lockett has
no.
more scores more
no.
points, but Cooks
That's accurate.
Is 8 to 10 targets you don't want weekly?
More season-long value. I think it's going to be Tyler Lockett. Okay. I just don't like drafting him on my team.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. And that's not a bet on the receiver necessarily. Like maybe they're close in skill. Give me Russell Wilson over Davis Mills.
That's
like
kind
I feel
of the
good
thing.
About that. So I'll take Russell
even,
Wilson.
Even when Mills is not there and it's Tyrod Taylor, I would still rather have like
yeah.
give me that guy. Give me Tyler Lockett.
I understand the question, but I'm not sure it's super close. Todd writes in, would you drop a guy like Damian Harris for someone like Damian Williams?
Ooh, that's tough because Damian Williams is gonna have a role for however long
Montgomery's here.
Montgomery's gone. But once that happens, then he's going to go back to that role, right? Where he's a backup. So I think the answer has got to be no to me. Damian Harris is a starter. I think that offense is going to get better for the Patriots. I do like Damian Williams, and he absolutely needs to be added. But I am not dropping Damian Harris to be able to add Damian Williams.
I agree. It's DFS Damian Williams. That's what you're doing. Maybe
yep.
this week, you know, you've got the CSS DFS podcast
tomorrow.
So that's an option. But Damian Harris, listen, he's a lead back on an offensive. We is a little bit better than we thought. schedule really lightens up down the stretch here. They play the Bills twice, but other than that, New England's going to be in these games. When they're in games, they're going to be running. When they're running, it's Damien Harris. To me, I understand where we're coming from here, and I think Williams outscores Harris this week, maybe next week, not the rest of the way.
So I think also if you need a win this week and you think that you like Damien Williams, like if you're 1-3 and you're like, I can't go 1-4, or if you're 0-4 and you're like, I have to get a win, yeah. I don't love it, but I understand the idea of I'm going to grab Damien Williams this week. But that's only if you need him. Yeah. Like, you literally cannot go without a win this
you
week.
You won't get Harris back if you do that.
Correct.
So that's correct. How I would handle that. Zach, if Sterling Shepard proves that he is healthy, would you trade him right now for Allen Robinson?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
No.
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because if I have Sterling Shepard on my team right now, one, I didn't invest a high draft pick in him. He's not somebody that I have a lot of investment in. And two, I think that Allen Robinson by the end of the season is still going to have value once you get into a playoff run. So if I'm trading for him, it's because I'm trading a guy that I didn't draft, didn't have a lot of capital to me in the first place, and because I'm probably in a spot where if I'm trading Sterling Shepard, who's a guy that could be starting for me, my team's likely in a spot where I am either winning or I feel like I have a good team and I can let somebody like Allen Robinson sit on my bench. That's the way I look at that.
Okay, I think you're right. I misread the question. I would trade for Allen Robinson. I wouldn't give up Allen Robinson.
Correct.
To get Shepard. What we're seeing right now is peak Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The Giants offense isn't going to get better, so I don't think Sterling Shepard's going to get better.
I'm with you.
The Bears offense can't get worse. Yeah. Like, if you're telling me this is going to get worse, then okay, do it. But if Allen Robinson's value plummets, I would be shocked. So Allen Robinson over Sterling Shepard, I think it's 10 out of 10.
I agree.
Josh wants to know, better PPR flex option the rest of the way, Kareem Hunt, who you guys talked about a lot earlier, or Chase Edmonds?
Kareem Hunt, please.
Okay, we're different on this one. Go ahead.
I freaking love Kareem Hunt. Sure. I love that offense. I love the usage that he's getting. Like, it does not make a difference that Nick Chubb is there in front of me. We had this conversation earlier, or in front of him. We had this conversation earlier on the show. I think Kareem Hunt is a guy that is going to be utilized, especially with what that passing game looks like right now. I'm not thrilled with their pass catchers. OBJ is average. Obviously, Juice is on IR right now. I think there's nobody there that does anything for me. So in a PPR league, while I love Chase Edmonds, Kyler Murray also has DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore and other pass catchers that I like quite a bit more than Chase Edmonds. So because of what Kareem Hunt can not only do on the ground, but in that passing game and the weapons are around the Browns, that's why I'm taking Kareem Hunt.
All right, I'm going Chase Edmonds here. I think it's a case of role and what's most likely to happen. Is there a world in which Kareem Hunt usurps Nick Chubb and just takes over that backfield?
No.
Right. Chase Edmonds, over 6 yards a touch. James Conner really hasn't impressed me. I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, but has he been impressive?
He's been impressive because he gets goal line work.
He's 6 feet tall. He's falling forward six feet and scoring.
We're all 6 feet tall, right?
Yeah, sure. Field Yates, all of us. Adam Schefter, we're all 6 feet tall. Chase Edmonds has a better chance to absorb James Conner's goal line role than Kareem Hunt does taking any food off of Nick Chubb's plate.
We're going to disagree here, and that's okay, but I disagree with you.
James Conner's going to hold that role and score 10 touchdowns this year?
I don't know if he will score 10 touchdowns, but I think he's going to be the goal line back, and I think Kareem Hunt is just going to have more value.
If Chase Edmonds starts scoring, he's like a top 15 back.
When he starts scoring, then you and I can revisit this conversation.
All right, Josh. Well, I think it's I think it's Chase Edmonds, Daniel Dapp goes Kareem Hunt. You let us know. Well, we'll put a poll up.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt or Chase Edmonds the rest of it? I think it's a great question.
I think it's a good
question,
too.
I think it's close. Yep. I just think you're wrong.
I like it.
Last question from Nicholas. He wants a rest of season name game, which is now going to have to be a drop list name game, for Odell Beckham Jr. I've got a few names queued up. You ready?
Bring it.
Julio Jones or Odell Beckham?
Julio Jones.
Tyler Boyd or Odell Beckham?
Probably Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. Okay. Devonta Smith or Odell Beckham? Odell Beckham. So that's, we're going Odell. Okay. We got a line drawn. Robert Woods, Bobby Trees, the struggling Robert Woods. I know you love you some Matthew Stafford in that offense. Would you rather bank on the...
Yeah, give me Robert Woods.
You take Woods?
Yeah.
Bounce back? Are you in on Woods?
I'm in on Woods over OBJ because I like his offense more. I like his quarterback more. I've seen it more recently from Bobby Trees than I've seen it from OBJ. There's a part of me that thinks Odell Beckham Jr. is just never going to be that guy that he used to be. And he might be somebody that, like, he's right now he's being carried by name value. Right? Yep. The same conversation that we had on Juju, the same conversation that we had on Allen Robinson. You take Odell Beckham Jr.'s name off of that list and you look at what he's done over the last 2 to 3 years, it's not a guy that you're like, I have to be rostering him. He's got to be somebody that I'm starting this week. Odell, I have to see it from him before I'm trusting him on most all of, I mean, he's going to be a mid-30s guy for me until I see it.
Okay, is he that much different than Allen Robinson? I mean, that if you didn't say Odell in the middle of that spiel you just gave, I wouldn't know if you were talking Robinson or Beckham. So who would you rather bet on? Do you want Baker in that offense? Do you want the upside of Fields? We know both are talented.
I would take OBJ over Allen Robinson because I think the Browns are going to score more points, and I think it gives OBJ a better opportunity to be a better fantasy contributor in that offense. The Bears, I'm only concerned because I want to believe in Justin Fields. I want to see it, but he's still a rookie. I don't know about Andy Dalton or what they're going to do with the quarterback position once he comes back. That offense isn't playing great. You know, Allen Robinson is, I think Allen Robinson is a better wide receiver than OBJ, but I think right now OBJ is in a better offense. And with both of them, I'm not playing either one of them until I see it. They're just on my bench.
So you go the higher offensive floor more than anything there. Antonio Brown, obviously a high offensive floor, but
all way, all
day. Even
his
potential number three in that offense.
100%. Yes.
Okay. All right. And last one here. Guy you were in on the preseason.
Oh, great.
Hasn't paid off quite that way yet.
Oh, no.
Laviska Shenault or Odell Beckham? I know you, I think your hot take was what, top 15 for Laviska? I mean, that might be a little hot.
With DJ Chark going out and with Laviska Shenault last week, I think he finished with 7 catches for 99 yards. The idea that he's going to be getting more targets, the idea that he's going to be more involved in that offense, even though I think the Jaguars are still a mess, I would take Laviska Shenault over Odell Beckham Jr. And you can at me if you want, but give me him. I think he is going to be more utilized in that Jacksonville offense. I don't think that OBJ is the OBJ that he used to be. Period. End of sentence.
Okay, I think you're good there. As always, you can tweet the show at Fantasy Focus on Twitter. We'll cycle through these questions. I'm sure we'll get to more later in the week. And yeah, I mean, Odell, it's tough.
It's tough, man.
It's the same thing as Allen Robinson. There's just some tough lineup decisions. You're going to have big names on your bench.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but it might be right.
I think this week you might have to do it a couple times. All right. Next week. Tomorrow, we're going to bring in Mike Clay and Stefania to preview Thursday Night Football. We're going to take look at Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchups. Any news and injury updates that we have, that is going to do it for us today. For Field, who has already left. For Kyle, who was sitting in for me. My name is Daniel Dopp. Don't forget to love each other. Be a good human to each other. We need more love in this world. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace out.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.